Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I am your host, Father Adam Streitenberger, and with me today is again Bishop Robert Brennan. Welcome, Bishop.
Thank you, Father Adam. Glad to be with you.
Great to have you. Today we're going to continue our discussions pretty much on Bishop's vision for the diocese, a vision which is really the church's vision for what we should be about. But let's begin with the prayer in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we ask especially that you fill our hearts with the gift of your Holy Spirit today, that we might be docile to his guidance and to his gifts. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So last time we were talking, we started dissecting your vision for the diocese, which is really your, as you say, it's taken from the church's vision, which I think is a good mark of humility. You know, when you ask someone, well, what's your vision for this place, and they come up with a 40-page dossier, then you. But when they just say, well, my vision is the church's vision, then you're a little bit more relaxed. You know, like in the sense, okay.
That's right, because it's easy. You know, it's neither liberal nor conservative. Mm-hmm. It's neither Democrat nor Republican. It's basically, and it's certainly not me. It's certainly not. You know, I have my own pious devotions and practices, but it's recognizing that the church is much bigger even than I am.
Mm-hmm. We talked, and I think we can probably summarize your vision as you did at your introductory press conference, the joy of the gospel and the splendor of truth, using those two encyclicals. Last time we were talking, there was something I wanted to dig into a little bit more, and that is viewing the Catholic life as that of discipleship, of disciples as disciples of Jesus.
Right. That's important. You know, let's look at the Gospels. So, you know, after the introductory, whether it be the prologue in John or the infancy narratives, after the preaching of John the Baptist, when Jesus gets on the road, the first thing he does is he calls disciples. And what is the nature of that call? He says two simple words, follow me, follow me. And that's the invitation to all of us. That I think, is the heart of discipleship. So if you genuinely follow Jesus, that means you are going to get to know him. You will see what he does, hear what he thinks. You will begin to take on the shape of the one you're following. And then you go where he goes. You start to see the world as he sees the world. And you learn to respond as he responds. So, you know, eventually when I spoke about the mission of the church, I spoke about missionaries and I spoke about go forth and proclaim the gospel. But his first command was follow me. All that came later. First thing was follow me.
Yeah, and we have to be formed. I think when we begin to see our Catholic life as discipleship, there is a fear that, oh, darn, I'm going to be sent out and I'm going to have to do something awkward or uncomfortable. Of course, you know, along with come follow me, he often says, don't be afraid.
That's right.
You know, do not fear. But even before we can really be sent out on a mission, we have to be formed as disciples.
Exactly. And really well formed. And again, that begins with a certain sense of humility that we know we need to be formed. And you know, I sometimes talk about what Solomon asked for when God promised him anything. He asked for an understanding heart, a listening heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so discipleship means a listening heart. And it means coming to know Jesus as Jesus is, not just as I imagine Jesus to be.
And I think especially connecting the splendor of truth to that's part of our formation is, you know, in order for us to effectively communicate the joy of the gospel, we have to be formed in the splendor of that truth as well.
Exactly. And that truth comes from the encounter with Jesus himself. You know, Pope John Paul II begins the Splendor of Truth with the account of the rich young man who wanted to follow Christ. He wanted to follow Christ. And yet, he went away sad not being able to give that extra step. And Jesus gives him the freedom. Notice how Jesus doesn't run after him and say, well, let me make it a little easier. Jesus doesn't negotiate.
Mm-hmm.
He presents something that's life-giving. I always hope, and I always wonder if the fellow ever came back.
Yeah.
And but Jesus does call us. He invites us. But he invites our freedom.
Mm-hmm. Then, and of course, the apostles, you know, lived 3 years with the Lord every day in that formation.
That's right.
And it really, the life of discipleship and the formation as a disciple is ongoing.
And even there, you see how they struggled to come to know him. You know how there was the story about when they were trying to expel a demon, and they said to Jesus, why couldn't we do that? And Jesus said, well, this kind of demon requires prayer. You know, they I think their hearts were good, and they wanted to imitate him, but they also knew that they needed his help. They struggled along the way.
If you're tuning in, this is Conversations on Discipleship with your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today is Bishop Robert Brennan, and we continue our conversation on his vision for the diocese, and especially that we all might be disciples of the Lord and see ourselves as disciples of Christ.
That's right. You know, we talk about the splendor of truth and the joy of the gospel. Pope Francis, in the beginning, The Joy of the Gospel, talks about this malaise, that's my word, not his, but this malaise that just covers the earth and an anxiety that even sometimes gets into the heart of believers. And he says the one remedy is the encounter with Jesus Christ and reaching out to him, again, very humbly and saying, oh, Lord, I let myself be deceived. Reach out to me one more time. You know, pull me up.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it makes me kind of wonder, you know, especially in seeing ourselves as disciples of the Lord. Certainly, you know, John Paul II and Benedict and Francis and even the Second Vatican Council talk about this life of discipleship. But I don't know, maybe when you were growing up, and going through, say, Catholic education and everything, was the Catholic life, was it presented like that, or?
I grew up in a very odd time, and you know what? Yet, I am so glad to be alive at the time I'm alive. So, first of all, when I was going to school, I started first grade in 1968, I think it was, okay? So this is really just after the council. And so we kind of, depending on teachers and classes, we bounced back and forth from the Baltimore Catechism to coloring rainbows to going back to the Baltimore Catechism. I remember when I was in seventh and eighth grade, preparing for confirmation and graduation, we had one sister. We were all lined up around the room against the wall, and she would go around and ask us our catechism questions. So, you know, I had a little bit of everything. So discipleship was in there, but I think it was more of an academic concept, you know, and certainly when I was younger, when I would hear the word disciples, I would think of the people of Jesus' own time. I would think of the apostles themselves. I would think of the people who walked in a bunch with them. And I guess every once in a while, that image stays with me. And then you have to remember, oh, wait a minute. Discipleship is a modern reality. It's what Jesus is calling us to right now.
Yeah, and I maybe that is why, you know, although the recent Holy Fathers have emphasized it, it is hard for us to kind of embrace this culture of discipleship, because when we think of the apostles, they're special. They are special, you know. Yeah. Even you, who are a successor of the apostle, you're not an apostle,
no.
You know. And there is, and but by holding to this idea of discipleship, we're not taking away from the unique role of Our Lady or the unique role of the 12 apostles.
No, in fact, their unique role was to draw us in to that form of discipleship. But I guess you tend to think of things in the contemporary framework, in the mm-hmm. time of Jesus was walking on earth. You know, you mentioned the popes, and that's why when I said I was glad to be alive at the time I am, I would say one of the transformational moments, we could talk about this another time,
yeah.
one of the transformational moments in my life was the election of Pope St. John Paul II and his visit to New York in 1979. And his words, don't be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid to open wide the doors to Christ. That was transformational, and it certainly was, I think, for the world, but it certainly was for me.
Did it change your priesthood at that point, or?
I was still a teenager. We're all. Adam.
Sorry about that. Dave, you can cut that.
No, leave it in. We have to laugh a little bit.
Well, on that note, let's end with a prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for all of your blessings. Continue to guide us and to protect us. Protect all of our listeners this day. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. In the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Oh, that's great. I love that.
A reading from Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Take care, brothers, that none of you may have an evil and unfaithful heart, so as to forsake the living God. Encourage yourselves daily while it is still today, so that none of you may grow hardened by the deceit of sin. We have become partners of Christ if only we hold the beginning of the reality firm until the end.